What happened today? You again on strike?
Yeah, no, I didn't have access to a computer today. But, yeah. Okay. Okay. Good Chodesh, everybody. Good morning. We have a Mirta Shem and Elul of Aliyah. Okay. So for Elul, I decided that we're going to learn a bit about Sukkah, the halachas of Yeshiva Sukkah. Okay, especially this year, it might be a bit different for some of us. Normally on Sukkot, we're in our Sukkah, and then we go out of our Sukkah, we go back in the Sukkah, and every time we go back into the Sukkah, we normally make a bracha when we're eating. This year is probably going to be different for many of us. We're going to be staying in the Sukkah most of the time. Okay, so some of the halachas will be different. Well, we were doing different things this year than previous years. Okay, so we are going to discuss various aspects of the mitzvah of Yeshiva Sukkah. First thing we're going to discuss is for which things are we required to make a bracha when we do them in the Sukkah. Okay, things like we're mainly going to be discussing eating. There are other things also which are required to do in Sukkah. We're going to touch on them very briefly, but the main focus of these shiurim, the main focus of these shiurim is on the achila. Okay, that's one thing. Then the next thing we're going to discuss is when if you've been in the Sukkah and then you leave the Sukkah or you go to a different Sukkah, what do you need to make a bracha or do you not need to make a bracha? And then if there's time, this is later shurim, then we'll also discuss the mitzvah of the first night of Sukkot. We know there's a special mitzvah on the first night of Sukkot to eat in the Sukkot, just like on Pesach, it's a mitzvah to have matzah the first night. So too by Sukkot, there's a mitzvah on the first night. We'll look at some of the parameters of that, if it rains, how much you have to eat. Okay. So we're going to start, as I said, we're going to start with what you have to do in the Sukkah. Which things are required to do in the Sukkah? So, first of all, I'm just going to mention something. I'm not going to read the Gemara in time. I'm just going to tell you some basic Gemaras. Okay? There's a Gemara on Sukkah, it's a Mishnah, which says that for the 7 days of Sukkah, the person should make his Sukkah keva. That should be his like permanent dwelling place. And his beis ara, his house, should be a more temporary dwelling place. Okay? The Gemara brings a brisa which elaborates. The brisa says, there's a brisa and then there's another brisa after that. The brisa says that Tanu Rabbanan, Teishu Kein Tadur, this is a very important principle when it comes to sukkahs, that you should live in the sukkah the way that you live in your house. Okay? Mikan Amru, from here Chazal learns how, Kol Shiva Sayamim, for all 7 days of sukkahs, Oise Adam Sukkah Keva, person should make his sukkah into his fixed home, your base of Aaron, and his house should be a temporary dwelling place. His house is not the place where he lives. On Sukkah, the Sukkah is the place where he lives. That's his home. That's his home for Sukkah. Katan, how do you do this? If he has a nice kalim, he should bring them into the Sukkah. If he has nice sheets, he should bring them inside the Sukkah. And then Oichol v'Shoisa, he should eat and drink umetail and like. Walk around or like chill out in the sukkah. You should learn in the sukkah. Okay, so the Bible tells us you should eat in the sukkah. You should drink in the sukkah. You should basically chill in the sukkah, learn in the sukkah. That's your place. Your sukkah is your home for 7 days of sukkahs. Okay, that's one gemara. So that's the gemara that seems to be telling us that we eat and drink in the sukkah. But we know that we don't do all our eating and drinking in the sukkah. The person wants to have a glass of water outside the sukkah, that we know he's allowed. So where does that come from? So that is another Mishnah. It's a Mishnah a little bit before that, on Kaf Hey Amud Aleph in Sukkah. And the Mishnah says, Oichlin v'shoitin arai chutz the sukkah. We're allowed to eat and drink arai in a more, in a non-fixed way, a non-formal setup. That you can do outside the sukkah. Okay? So far the rule seems to be that even though we are required to eat and drink in the sukkah, it's only when it's a more formal type of eating. If it's a haphazard type of eating, then that you're not required to do that in the sukkah. Okay. What exactly does it mean, this haphazard, this like a non-formal eating? What's the definition of that? Okay. So on that, there's another gemara. So this Gemara says that the Gemara wants to know how much is it considered to be achilas arai. Okay, we're talking about at the moment we're talking about, let's just go with bread. Okay, so how much is it considered to be achilas arai? So the Gemara first makes one suggestion, it's two or three eggs. The maskana of the Gemara is that the way Rashi Tosfos is explaining is that it's one kabeta. One kabeta is considered to be achilas arai. Anything more than one kabeta, that has to be eaten in the sukkah. So one kabeta, up to a kabeta, you have to eat outside the sukkah. More than that, you have to be inside the sukkah. Okay. So far we've just mentioned the shiur. Yeah, how much has to be, how much you have to eat to eat in the sukkah and not out the sukkah? That we're saying the shiur is a kabeta. Okay. Now, what foods are required to eat in the sukkah? Okay, so on here we've got, we're just talking about the Gemara at the moment, the proximity of the halacha we're going to get to. So don't take anything from what we're saying at the moment. Okay. So there's another Gemara. It comes from a Gemara in Yuma. Okay. There's a Mishnah in Sukkah which says that Rabbi Elazar holds, we don't hold like this, Rabbi Elazar holds that you have to have 14 suddas in your sukkah. On sukkahs, you have 14 suddas in your sukkah. Why? Because he says, you don't do that from Tishra Cain to do it. That rule that we mentioned earlier, you have to live in the sukkah the way you live in a house. He says that just like it's normal to eat one meal in the day and one meal at night, yeah, during the rest of the year, so it's on sukkahs, that's what you have to do, and you have to do it in a sukkah. You have to have 14 meals in the sukkah. Okay. Then Rabbi Eliezer says that if a person, if for whatever reason he didn't manage to eat all those suddas, he can be mashlim. Okay. He can be mashlim that. The Gemara says, what can it be mashlim with? So the Gemara says, the mine tagima. With mine tagima. Okay. That, I'm not translating yet exactly what that means, so that's going to be discussed. Okay. Now, from the Gemara in Yuma, it's clear that whatever mine tagima is, that is something that you're mechuyev to eat in a sukkah. Yeah? It's lapped after bread. Yeah? Mine tagima, you're mechuyev to eat in a sukkah. So whatever the definition of mine tagima is, that's what you're mechuyev to have in a sukkah. So what is mine tagima? And there, you've got a machlekes. First of all, it seems to be a machlekes already in the Gemara in Yuma, what it could mean. And it boils down, at least La Halacha is going to boil down to Machlokes Rishonim. Okay, so there's three different shittas what it could mean. Maybe Minei Tagima is Mazoinus. Maybe Minei Tagima is things like bread, fish, things which that you have as part of your meal. Or maybe even Minei Tagima is just fruit. Yeah, so again, those are the three options. Either Minei Tagima means Mazoinus, or it means bread, fish, cheese, things which you eat with the bread, or it means fruit. Okay, so according to if we accept that it means fruit, yeah, well that would mean that you're mechuyev to have fruit in your sukkah. Okay, but we learned before that that's only if you do it in a kliyistic way, an oifen kavua. Yeah, if it's not an oifen kavua, then you wouldn't be mechuyev. Okay, so whatever this definition of targim is, it's still only going to be if you ate it in a kavua dika way. If you didn't eat in a kavua dika way, then you would not be chayev to eat it in a sukkah, and you could eat it outside the sukkah. Okay. Okay, fine. So again, we're saying it's machlokes rishonim. What is mine tagima? Is it mezonos? Is it meat, fish, cheese, or is it peiros? Okay. Now, okay. Now, even if we assume that it is, we'll go with a more extreme version that it's only mezonos. Okay. So only mezonos in mechuyev, and we said on that that it's only if you eat it in oifen kavua. Yeah. Now, what's going to be considered to be the oifen kavua when it comes to mezonos? Is it eating it like more than a kabeta, just like we said by bread, or maybe it's got another definition? Okay, that is also something to a machlokes, a poskim. Okay, fine. So So we've mentioned, just to summarize where we're holding, we're saying that, okay, bread would definitely, well, at least if you eat more than kebeta bread, that you have to eat in a sukkah. Okay, that's clear cut. Okay, if you eat, mine tadima in an oifan kavur, you also have to eat in a sukkah. Okay. The definition of mine tadima that we said is unclear. We've got a three-way machlekes. If it means, mezoinus, meat, bread, meat, cheese, fish, those types of things which you're eating as a meal, or maybe means potatoes. But according to those last, either way, it's only if you eat in an oifan kavur. If you don't eat in an oifan kavur, then you're not mechuyev mi'ikradin to eat in a sukkah. Mr. Hashem, we're going to get there. There is a minus to eat in a sukkah. It says, someone who eats in a sukkah it's a good thing. Okay, it's a reason of shubach that we're going to discuss in Mr. Hashem. But at the moment, we're talking about mi'ikradin. Mi'ikradin is only if you eat those things in an oifan kavur, then you're mechuyev to eat in a sukkah. Otherwise, you can eat it outside of sukkah. Okay, and we said what exactly, how much of these things you have to eat, that is subject to machlokes, and that's what we are going to get into now. Okay, so that's all the background that we have. Yeah, now we are going to get involved in the actual halachas of these things.
Excuse me.
Okay.
Rafi,
yes.
May I ask a question? Can
yes.
You sort of mention, but I didn't understand this definition. What means this kavua stuff about fruit and cheese? What
kavur? Okay, very good. We're going to discuss it. Exactly what you have to eat, we're going to discuss. Okay?
No, not to what to eat. You said that sometimes I can eat cheese outside sukkah, but sometimes I have to eat inside sukkah because it depends on kavur.
Yeah.
This
kavur means... kavur. Okay, I'm going to say a very general definition. The reason I'm being a bit vague with it because it's going to be subject to machlokes. Okay, but the general definition means I'm having it as a formal eating session. Yeah, I'm not just having it as a snack. A very general definition would be if I'm eating it as a meal or if I'm eating it as a snack. Okay, if I'm eating it as a meal, I need to have it in a sukkah. If I'm eating it as a snack, then I can have it outside the sukkah. Okay. Okay, but we're going to discuss the exact parameters of it. Okay, so we're going to start with bread. Okay, so we said before that bread is if you have more than kavita, you're mechuyev to eat that in the sukkah. Okay, you cannot eat it outside the sukkah. Now, even by bread, it comes out as a bit of a chiddush also in that. Even if you're not eating bread, like you're not even eating the bread sitting down, you're eating it in a very aridic way. Yeah, you're walking around, you're whatever you're doing. Yeah, you're not even eating as part of a meal. Yeah, you just have more than a kebeta of bread. That you are mechuyev to eat in a sukkah. The moment you have more than a kebeta of bread, you're mechuyev to eat that in a sukkah. Okay, less than a kebeta, then that the You don't have to eat in a sukkah, and the idea behind it, the Mishnah Berurah brings from a Ritva is that just like during the rest of the year, a person would sometimes eat a very small amount of bread, even not at home. Yeah. So therefore, we said that the parameter is heishur came to do it. What I normally do at home, I do in the sukkah. So because there are times when I wouldn't eat this thing dafka at home, I sometimes eat it outside. Therefore, even on sukkahs, I don't have to eat it in the sukkah. So if I'm eating this the less than kebeta, I can eat it outside the sukkah. If I'm having more than kebeta, I have to eat it in the sukkah. Okay. Okay, and again, we said even it doesn't matter how you're eating it, whether you're sitting down and having a formal meal, or you're just some eating it. You it's in the middle of the afternoon. You're a bit peckish, and you want just a snack. As long as if you're eating more than kebeta, you have to eat inside a sukkah. Okay. What is the we know? Let's say when it comes to eating a kezayis of matzah, right? You have to eat it within a certain period of time. You have to eat it within kedeish achilas pras. Yeah. So for the kezayis, you have to eat achilas pras. If the person doesn't do that, if he prolongs his eating, that's called the chazal says that ilu he ate some today and some tomorrow. The achilas are not mitzvah. Okay. Now, is there such a requirement by sukkah also, by the eating of bread on sukkah. So on that, we also have a machlokas. Okay? Some want to say that it doesn't matter. There's no such requirement. If you're having as long as you're having a kabeitza basachak, sorry, but more than a kabeitza basachak, yeah, it doesn't matter the time period that you're eating it in, you're always mechuyev to have it in a sukkah. Okay? Others say, no, ma pitom, it's got the regular rules of achila, and you have to eat it within kedei achinas pras. And there, some say, the Kiryakov says, that the whole kabeitza, or a bit more than kabeitza, the whole thing you have to eat within kedei achinas pras. We know kedei achinas pras, it's also subject to machlokes, 2 minutes, 4 minutes, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 9 minutes. Okay, so according to the Kiryakov, you have to eat the whole amount within that period of time. Kedei achinas pras. Now, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says no. Says we don't find the shear of a kedei achinas pras is only for kazayas. We don't find it for a kabeita. It's only for a kazayas. So he says that for each kazayas, a kabeita is two kazayas. So for each kazayas should be eaten within a kedei achinas pras. So according to Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, if you have one kazayas within kedei achinas pras, and then another one within kedei achinas pras, and a little bit more, it has to be a bit more than a kabeita, then you would not be able to eat that thing out the sukkah. You have to eat that within the sukkah. Okay, that's all bread. Okay, now, sorry, 1 second. Right. Okay, that's all bread. Now, there's another chiddush which comes from a Mishnah in Sukkah, which says, okay, I don't know if it's really shy for bread, but I'll just mention it now. Which is that all these things, that which we say there's a chiyuv to eat in sukkah is if you're eating it, as in you're eating it, as opposed to if you're just tasting the food. If you just want to taste the food to see if it tastes nice or doesn't taste nice, if it needs the spices, whatever it might need, that's not considered to be achilas keva, that's considered to be achilas arai, and therefore that you can eat outside the sukkah. So even if you're eating a large amount of it, you're tasting a large amount, because it's not considered to be achilas keva, it's only considered to be achilas arai, you're just tasting the food, you're not formally eating the food, that can be eaten outside the sukkah. Again, yeah, I said it's not so shy for bread, but be shy for the other things that we're going to discuss.
Rabbi?
Okay.
Yeah. Can I ask a question? So I've never heard this before. You could have a set meal outside the sukkah. If you just have a kazayas of bread and you're going to be benching, it's a full meal, you can have that outside the sukkah?
No. We're going to see why not. What I said was if you have less than a kabeita of bread, yeah. You're right. So, okay, you're right. I haven't spoken about other things. You're right. If you're going to be eating fish and meat and other things with it, we're going to see that there's strong grounds that you should eat that in the sukkah. Okay?
Okay.
At the moment, you're right. But you're right. I should have clarified it better. Yeah? At the moment, all we're talking about is all you're eating is bread. You're not eating anything else. If the only thing you're eating is a kazayas of bread, and you're not eating anything else with it, then you're right. That you could eat outside the sukkah. Yeah?
Okay.
So, yeah, you're 100% right. Thank you for clarifying it. Okay? So, again, let's just speak that out one more time then. Yeah? Everything we've discussed now, up to now, is when all you're eating is bread. Okay? So, if you have more than a kabeitza of bread, then it has to be in the sukkah. If you have less than a kabeitza of bread, then it doesn't have to be in the sukkah. Okay, right. If you're having other things with it, then we're going to see if you're having it as part of a meal, then there's going to be strong grounds, and sometimes you might, depends what you're eating, you might even be mechuyev to eat that inside the sukkah. Okay. Fine. So that was all with regards to bread. Okay. Okay, next. We'll go with mezonos. Okay, but we know that it's basically two types. Okay, there's two types of mezonos. Yeah, we know there's such a thing, there's something called like pasabava kisnin, yeah, which are things like pastry, things like rogalach and cake, okay, cookies. And then there's other things which are, let's say, pasta or porridge, things which are not bread family products. Okay, so we're going to discuss the non-bread bread family types of mezonos first. Okay, so if a person says they're having pasta, okay, so if you're eating pasta, then I'm just going to read out the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch. Give me 1 second. It's in Tafresh Lamed Tes. It's 6 days. I just lost it again. nearly. Yeah. Okay. So the Machaber says like this. The tafshil ha'asa chameshes minim. Tafshil, some kind of food which is made from the five species, you know, wheat, rice, felt, barley, and that's that one.
Oats.
Thank you. Yeah. Those, all of those. So the lashon is im kovei alav. If a person like has it as a formal meal, his then chashiv keva b'tarich sukkah. Then it's considered to be keva and it requires a sukkah. Okay. So what exactly does he? What does it mean if it's kovei alav? Yeah. White bread. We said as long as you have more than kabeza, you mechuyav to eat it in a sukkah. By this mezonos, yeah, the let's call it porridge, yeah. There he doesn't say that. He says im kovei alav. If you fix yourself, if you make it into like a formal meal, yeah. So on that, the Mishnah Berurah explains like this. There's two ways that it's going to be considered to be a formal thing. One is if you're eating in a chabura, if you're eating it with other people, and the definition of other people is even one other person. If you're eating with other people. Yeah, all these things are, things are clear, you have to have more than a kibbutz. Yeah, at least a kibbutz. So if you're having a bit more than a kibbutz and you're eating it at like a social gathering with other people, and on the point, say even we're amongst your family, yeah, you sit down for supper with your family and you're having a bit more than a kibbutz, then that's considered to be a tzitz and that you're mechuyav to eat in a sukkah and say the bracha. Okay, say the bracha of leishit the sukkah. That's one way. And the other way is, I'm going to read the words of the Mishnah Berurah. One second. Or she'oichol shir chashuv shekaveh tzudasa bezeh. Or you eat a shir, an amount which is chashuv, and that you kaveh your tzuda on that. Right. And Mishnah Berurah carries on. It's not enough just to eat a bit more than a kaveh. So on that we're saying that this mezonos is different to bread. Bread, as long as you eat more than a kaveh, you're mechuyav in a sukkah. Yeah, you have to, and you say a bracha, you mechuyav to eat in the sukkah. Mezonos is not like that. Yeah, at least according to the shita of the Shulchan Aruch. We're going to see the shita that's cholek. But according to the Shulchan Aruch, by mezonos, if you're having porridge, if you either you're eating more than kabeza, you're having in a chabura. That's one kfir. There's another way to get a kfir. Let's say I'm eating supper now. Yeah, and for supper we're having pasta. Yeah, so and I'm eating the amount that this is my supper. Yeah, it's a normal amount, then that is a kvias. If all I'm eating now is a little bit, let's say a kvias, two kvias, that's not the amount that's the tafah. I'm just having it as a snack, let's say. Yeah, then I'm not, again, according to Mechaber, I'm not mechuyav to eat them in the sukkah. Yeah? Okay. The Mishnah Berurah brings a dissenting opinion. The Magen Avraham says that no, it's the same, it has exactly the same thing as bread. Yeah, the moment you eat more than a kabeza, you're mechuyav to eat in a sukkah. So halacha lemaisa for things like pasta and porridge is that if you have more than a kabeza, you're mechuyav to eat in a sukkah. You should eat in a sukkah. Yeah, because of this Magen Avraham, you should eat in a sukkah, but you shouldn't say a bracha. You should only say a bracha if you're meeting the requirements of the Shulchan Aruch, which are either that you are eating it in a chabura, okay, you're eating with other people. Or you are eating it as a meal, eating it for your breakfast, for your lunch, for your supper, and you're eating a share that you normally eat an amount that will sustain you that's called your breakfast, that's your lunch, that's your supper. Then you are mechuyav to eat that in the sukkah with a bracha. Okay, so just clarify again one more time. We're saying this type of mezonos, which the mezonos of the non-bread related mezonos. The porridge, the pasta, that we've got a machlokes, what's considered to be the kfiyas that you're required to eat in a sukkah. Okay, the Magen Avraham says that the moment you have more than a kabeza, yeah, you're mechuyav to eat in a sukkah. I mean, exactly like bread. There's no difference between porridge and bread. The moment you have more than a kabeza, you're mechuyav to eat that in a sukkah. That's the Magen Avraham. But it's a dissenting opinion, and therefore, if all you're doing is eating a bit more than a kibbutz, but it's not, you haven't been kovei on it, which we're going to just repeat what that means exactly, then you're not you should eat in a sukkah but without a bracha. Okay, in order to mechayev a bracha, then you're chayev according to everybody is You have to eat it in an oifen kavua. What's that? You've got one of two options. Either you're eating it as part of kavura, again, you're having more than a kavaita. The second option is you're having it as your meal. You're eating a chashuv amount that you normally eat as your meal. Then you are mechuyev to eat in a sukkah and you make a bracha on it. Okay, that's all with regards to the non-bread type of nedlone. Okay, next is the pasabah b'kisin type of nedlone. Okay, that is things like, again, with things like crackers and cookies and cake. There are things which are related, similar to bread. The reason why is just to quickly speak out why it's similar to bread. We know that certain types of mezonos are similar to bread, and if a person eats a large amount of them, I'm not going to get involved exactly what the shurim are now. If you eat a large amount of them, more than four kavetim, different shittas. If you eat a large amount of them, then we treat them like bread. The person has to wash on them beforehand. He says hamoitzi. He says bechot hamazon. Okay, so in those cases, that's pasavah b'kistim. Okay, now if a person eats pasavah b'kistim on sukkahs, then what's the status? Is it like regular mezonos, or is it like bread? Where does it register on the in the world of sukkah? Okay, so on that the Mishabura brings a machlekes whether it's like bread or not. Okay, whether if you have more than a kabeza is sufficient or not. Okay, and he says that. I'll just read these words. He says, okay, so what is it? So he says, if a person has a bit more than a kibbutzah, he says, on chol, okay, we're going to discuss on Shabbos, why Shabbos might be different. Yeah, on chol, if a person has a bit more than a kibbutzah, he says, it's roi not to make a bracha on it, but he says that the minag olam is to make a bracha on it. Okay, minag olam is to make a bracha on it, and he says that the eitzah to avoid a potential bracha levatala of making the bracha of leisha v'sukkah is to eat your mezonos, and also stay in a sukkah afterwards. Why? Because staying in a sukkah afterwards is also a type of mitzvah. It's also a mitzvah of the yeshiva sukkah. Yeah, that we mentioned before. Any type of diurim things that you do in a sukkah is also a mitzvah. So if you hang around in the sukkah afterwards, then when you make your bracha originally, that bracha originally can also, the bracha of leisha can also cover your just sitting in the sukkah, and therefore there won't be a problem of bracha levatala. Okay.
I didn't understand this whole principle, bracha levatala. How could be bracha levatala? Why?
Because if you're saying a bracha of leishev sukkah and you're not mechuyev to be in the sukkah now.
Leishev the sukkah, okay.
Not the mezonos, right? The mezonos of others is okay, right? Bracha of leishev sukkah would be a problem. Okay, I just see we're running out of time. Okay, it's 5-2. Five two, Nachon?
Yes.
Okay, we'll have to continue with this. The talk about the case, and we'll continue next week in the session. Okay, have a good Shabbos, everybody.
Bye,
good Shabbos. Bye.